ChristianCommunity.com.
Morning, everyone. Hey, glad you're all with us this morning as we're rolling through our I Am God's Plan series, and we've been in this for quite a while, but we've kind of shifted. We've turned a corner a little bit a couple of weeks ago, starting to really focus on the reality of what God has done in our lives leads us to a place where we're called to a certain way of life, a certain focus in our life, and that sort of thing. Because when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we get this new reality for us. Like, first of all, we belong to him. We belong to him. Because we belong to him, we can know that we are chosen and valued and secure and loved. Right? But we also get this, we get this new identity. We become a new creation in Christ. Like, the old us is gone, and the new life begins for us. And part of that identity, though, is that we are also then ambassadors for Jesus. And so that's what we've been kind of focusing in on. I am God's plan. So the hope that I now have, and the new life that I've been given, and the peace that I've come to know, and the love that I've received, all through Jesus, all of that is something I am called to share with the world around me, right? I am God's plan. Last week we kind of said this, that Jesus is God's plan for salvation, which is true, but I am God's plan to share it with the world. You are God's plan to share it with the world, which means we've got to be willing to fight for the spiritual well-being of everyone around us who doesn't yet know Jesus. Right? So I am God's plan A, you are God's plan A, and there is no plan B for him. He's called us to that work. So last week we mentioned five things that we can do to kind of get in the spiritual battle or the spiritual fight. Right? Like we said, it's pray, connect, engage, speak, and invite. Last week we had sort of an assignment, something you kind of passed out and asked for you to do over the course of the week. And the assignment was to pray, right? Pick 3 to 5 people or more and just pray, specifically people who don't yet know Jesus that you know in your life, and pray for them every day or regularly throughout the week. Now, I realize that sometimes it can be really easy to start thinking that we're just turning people into, like, projects, right? We hear that sometimes. We're writing their name on a checklist of things to do. But it's really about us being intentional to pray for people who don't know Jesus, because it's so easy for that to become an afterthought in our life. And I just want to encourage you with this, that let me assure you that anyone on your list who ends up spending eternity with Jesus in heaven will be glad they were on your list. Right? They will be. Everyone who spends eternity separated from God will wish they had been someone's project. Okay, so, and it might sound blunt, but the bottom line is, look, I don't care how you do it, whether you have a list or don't have a list. Just be sure you're praying for people in your life who don't know Jesus. But just praying for them, that's a good start. But the next thing is to connect. To connect. Like, we need to look for ways to connect with the people in our life who don't know Jesus. If we are God's plan, then we need to be making sure that we're kind of connecting and rubbing shoulders with people. Now, maybe that starts for you with a phone call or a text or a Facebook message, whatever. Hopefully that's not the end game, right? We'd like to connect with people personally. That's important. So I just want to ask you as this kind of next step, who is someone on your list or non-list, however you're approaching it, that you need to carve out some time to spend with in this next week, right? Will this next week, will you reach out to them and start to build that relationship? Or maybe it's rekindling a relationship that kind of faded out, right? And so when we talk about, I mentioned last week, we didn't want last week to just be this one-off thing that we talked about one time and didn't carry it over. So over the next few weeks, we'll just remind us of steps that we can be taking to be intentional about sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus with people. All right, so Last week was pray. Hopefully, if you didn't do that, start doing that. But this week, we're going to add in connect, right? Find a way to build some connection with someone on your list. That's the assignment for this week. We're starting out with the assignment. It's like the teacher who puts the assignment on the board and says, by the way, here's what's due, right? However, this is not the topic for today. This week, we're continuing with this whole theme of I am God's plan, and we're talking about using our resources, like all of them, to impact others and bring God glory, right? So to kind of get us heading in that direction, I want you to take a look at this amazing video. Now, everyone's probably looking for gum. I don't think there's any out there, right? But I love the video, first of all, because let's face it, that chair thing is kind of us, right? Like, we all kind of like to sit in the same seat every week, and that's fine, right? And in here, not any one seat is more comfortable than another, because, you know, they're just pews, but we're comfy in our seat. I think that's the point. But second, like, the message is to get up and be out of our comfort zones and start or keep serving the Lord. Right? Even if we're serving in some way already, even if we're, you know, maybe leading in a women's group or helping in youth group or with Sunday school with the kids, which we can always use more help on, by the way, and playing on the worship team or something like that, like even giving messages on Sunday, it can be easy to just kind of keep in our lane. Right, to stay in our comfy chair rather than step out in faith. Right, and so that's kind of our focus for this morning. Right, you've probably heard much of this before, but there are three areas that we can use to serve God and bring Him honor and glory in our lives. There's more than three, but three we're focusing in on this morning. And they're simply my time, my talent, and my treasure. My time, my talent, and my treasure. And I just want to briefly highlight each one of those and just roll through some passages that talk about each one. So it's not one big passage that carries over, but just some individual ones that relate to each one. So this will be tough to follow along if you've got your Bibles. This might be tough, but we will have all the words on the screen for these. So it might be the easiest way to follow along. If you're looking at what the verses are, jot them down, or you know, you can check our online message notes as well. So first of all, my time. Time is a commodity, right? We only have so much of it, and we need to consider what we're going to spend our time on. Right? Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Right? Making the best use of our time. Now that phrase literally would be translated redeeming the time. And the idea of redeeming something is to buy it back. It's like our time has been lost or wasted or spent already. And we need to redeem it. We need to buy it back to regain possession of it so we can use it for the right thing. Like, God wants us to live in this constant awareness of that ticking clock in our life and to make the most of the time that we have. Rather than waste our days on frivolous pursuits that leave no lasting imprint, the scripture is telling us, look, we need to be diligent about doing God's will. Psalm 139:16, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." I mean, think about that. Before you were born, God knew. He knew your days. Our time is a gift from God. None of us know how much of it we have. Only God knows how much time we have on this earth to make decisions that are going to impact eternity. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says this, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. All right, like you've probably heard that before. It talks about faith. right? We're not saved by doing good deeds, by spending our time doing good deeds. We aren't saved by the works we do. Salvation only comes through faith, putting our faith and trust in Jesus. But we're called to good works and deeds as this outflow of the grace that God has given us through Jesus. And that's what the very next verse says, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's like he's got work for us to do. He's calling us to step into it, to step into that. Paul, who wrote much of the text we're looking at, but also instructed Titus to teach other believers, other followers of Jesus, to be diligent with their use of time for good works as well. In Titus 3:8, it says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Jesus told his disciples in John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. Right? Time is a gift that we've been given by God, and he wants us to use it for his purposes. And so here's a question in regards to your time. And I'll preface it with this. The God who saved you and gave you eternal life is asking for your time. Are you giving it to him? Am I giving it to him? The God who saved you and gave you eternal life is asking for your time. Are you giving it to him? All right, what about the next one is my talents. My talents. And by talents, it's more than that. I said talent, but talents, gifts, skills, like things we've been given, the resources we've been giving in that sense. Use talents because it's T and three T words. It helps remember time, talents, treasures. But look, we all have different gifts and talents and skills that we're supposed to make the best of. Right? Spiritual gifts are supernaturally given to us as believers. Right? And God gives them to us to build up his church and to have impact in the world. Now, our talents are like abilities that we're blessed with naturally. It doesn't even necessarily have to do with whether we're a follower of Jesus or not. We have talents. We all have different talents. And skills. Skills are things that we learn to do well or become good at by working at them diligently. So talents, skills, gifts, spiritual gifts, but they're all these resources that God wants us to use for him. Not too long ago, we looked at this passage when we were studying Romans. Romans chapter 12, and it talks about the different gifts we've been given from God, the spiritual gifts, right? Romans 12, 6 through 8, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Right? So he gives all these examples, but it goes back to having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, what God has given us, let us use them. We're supposed to use them. We all have different gifts. That's by design, right? Not everyone has the same giftedness or talent level. The world would be a little bit boring, and only certain things would ever get done, right? But the reality is it's not even about what gift you have. It's whether or not you're using it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. And it goes on to say, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Right? Glorified, like lifted up, made known, made a big deal out of. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the purpose of our gifts, our resources, our talents, our skills, is to use it. And the reason we use it is to bring glory to God. So you got to put them to good use. So question regarding our talents. The God who saved you and gave you eternal life is asking you for your gifts, your talents, your skills. Are you giving them to him? Are you giving them to him? Last one is my treasures. Resources, finances, you could say all of those things. And for those who are newer or have just been here for a short while, like, we don't hardly ever talk about money and finances in church. We just don't make a big deal out of that. But it's a pretty important topic in Scripture. And so the funny thing is, one of the best passages that talks about giving of our treasures actually uses the word talents, right? It's the parable of the talents. But in Jesus' day, a talent was not referring to skills and abilities and that sort of thing. It was referring to a large monetary figure. The equivalent that most scholars believe was about 20 years of wages, right? So it's a large, large amount of money. And talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus said this in Matthew 25, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him and said, 'You wicked, slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed? Well, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." A story that does not end with a very happy note, does it? Right? The one, especially for the one who wastes what has been given. And the point is, Jesus implies here that not using our resources, not using them well, is an offense to God, with pretty heavy implications, right? So the financial resources we've been blessed with, regardless of how great or small, are to be used wisely for his purposes. What we do with them really does matter to God. Now, one of my favorite passages about our treasures is this next one. It's the second one, the only other one we're going to look at this morning. And what's interesting about this is it isn't a story Jesus told. It's a real moment that occurred in Jesus' life. Mark 12, 41 through 46. Talking about Jesus, it says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Right, so we've got two different instances where Jesus focuses on our financial giving, and they're a little bit different. The first one is about what we do with these great resources. And while we tend to dismiss that, because honestly, we don't see ourselves as rich most of the time, we truly are. Right? In fact, did you know that if you, $10 per hour job in the United States probably puts you in the top 10-ish percent of income earners worldwide? Right, according to this website estimator, philanthropic website that I checked on. Right, wow. Right, like any standard you use, if you have a decent job with an average income, you're among the wealthiest in the world. And if you have a great job where you are among, you truly are among the elite. Right, now I don't know if you think of yourself that way. I don't know if I like to think of myself that way, but worldwide, that is true. And yet, even if we don't buy into that, that second story shows like it doesn't matter if we aren't wealthy by the world standards. That woman was living in poverty and gave what she had for God's purposes. And Jesus noticed. He noticed. When he saw this woman giving out of her need, he counted her as giving more than all the others. I think that's important to distinguish. He says more. Not just, oh, what she gave was more significant. Not just what she gave was more valuable. Not just what she gave was more proportionately. He just counts her as having given more. More. Look, Jesus cares about what we give. He notices the generosity of our heart or the lack of it. So, the question around this, the God who saved you and gave you eternal life is asking you for your treasures, right? Your resources. Are you giving them to him? I want to close with this about all three things. Whatever it is that we've been blessed with, much or little, what we do with it matters, right? What we do with it matters. God is asking you for your time, your talent, and your treasure, and are we willing to give him that? Because here's the truth about all three of those things. We only have them because he has given them to us. Right? James 1, 16 through 18 says, look, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters implied. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Like, look, you don't control the amount of time you have on this earth, the number of breaths you are going to breathe. Ultimately, it's in his hands. The abilities you have, the skills, the talents, the gifts, the material things you possess, they aren't really yours. They're a blessing from God. It's all a gift from God. So whatever we've been blessed with, much or little, what we do with it matters. When we're brought into the kingdom of God, he calls us to be contributors, not consumers. Right? It's kind of the direct opposite of what our society operates by. Right? When it comes to the purposes of God, are you giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure? Are you offering what you have for his purposes? You know, the question could be asked like this: are you being a contributor or a consumer in the kingdom? Because now that you're in the kingdom, now that you've come to faith in Christ, if you've come to faith in Christ, well, who are you in it for now? Are you in it for you? Am I in it for me? Or are we in it to serve the Lord and for the sake of others? And so each week we've been kind of leaving with a statement, one to consider, one to ponder throughout the week. Is this true or is this not true for you? And here's the kind of closing statement for today. I am going all in for the glory of God and the sake of his kingdom. I am going all in for the glory of God and the sake of his kingdom. Now, we're probably familiar with that phrase, go all in, right? It's usually from like cards, gambling, that sort of thing, We did a series years ago called All In, same idea, same principle. We get that, it's the origin of it. But it's interesting, if you look it up, go all in is an expression that's actually listed in like the Cambridge English Dictionary. Like it's an official expression. And here's how they describe what it means. To try with great determination to achieve something, especially when this involves taking a big risk, by doing all the things that can be done. Right? That's pretty significant. To try with great determination to achieve something, especially when this involves great risk, by doing all of the things that can be done. I mean, think of those phrases. Try with great determination. Take a big risk. Do all that can be done. Is that what we're doing in our spiritual life when it comes to pursuing God and His purposes? Are we going all in? Giving God my time, using my talents, gifts, and skills, offering my treasures and resources, whatever I have, am I willing to do whatever it takes to help build His kingdom? Am I willing to say, all right, Lord, whatever you need from me, it's yours. Whatever you ask of me, Lord, the answer is yes. I will give it. Right? I am going all in for the glory of God and the sake of His kingdom. Is this true for you and for me? Something we want you to consider throughout this week. All right, let's close in prayer, and we've got a few more songs of worship we're going to end with. Father God, you are a God who is worthy of receiving all the glory. We sung earlier about how you are holy, how you are just so far above anything in this world. You are so great and good and perfect and kind and loving. Unlike anyone down here on this earth, you are so altogether different than we are. You are holy. And we want to worship you. We want to do that with our songs, our words, our prayers, but we want to do that with our lives as well. We want to bring you glory, to make a big deal out of you, to make sure that you are being seen as great as you are. And God, part of giving you glory means being willing to surrender all that we have to your purposes and for your sake. For the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of those around us who don't know you. God, this morning, we pray that you would just stir on our hearts where, what areas of our life where we may need to give a little bit more of ourselves, to get out of our comfy chair, and to just say, here I am, what do you want from me? I will do it, Lord. I will surrender to you. I will do whatever it is you ask. I'm going all in. And Lord, where we might be hesitant, we pray that you would continue to work on that. We know you're patient with us. We know that you are loving, that you are kind. We know that we're not perfect, and you know that we're not perfect. You still love us anyway. You offer grace and mercy and forgiveness, and we're so grateful for that. But we pray that you would help us to take that next step, to move to where you want us to be. And that we'd just be willing to surrender. Like we prayed with our hands open, allowing you to take from us whatever it is you need for your purposes. And yet also extend it in a way that says we worship you, we love you, and we honor you. We want to bring you glory. So we pray these things, and we pray for the steps that we may need to take, even in this next week, to move in that direction. Give us courage, give us strength, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we close.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.